Amen, amen. Praise God. Let's give him a hand clap of praise. It's good to have folks back in here tonight. While you're standing, turn to page 120. They just led in with that song just a minute ago, Victory in Jesus. Let's all just sing and just lift the Lord up. Can. Again, looking forward to a mighty move of God this evening. We're going to get ready and take up our evening offering. If I get a couple of ushers to come forward, and we'll just go ahead and take it up. Like I said, just love each and every one of you. Really excited about what God is doing. Praise the Lord. Brother Thomas, if you'd ask the Lord just to bless our offering, please.
Lord, we thank you, Lord, for you being blessed with the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be back in your house, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for your spirit to be felt all along. Lord, we know, Lord, there's people not able to be here, Lord. We know, Lord, you can reach down and touch them wherever they are, Lord. Ask, Lord, to bless this offering, Lord, for the further of our work, Lord.
Yes,
we know, Lord, this is our offering, Lord, to help those that are in need. Lord, help those that are able to give, Lord, especially those that are not. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Opportunities to call on a couple of special songs tonight, special singers. Brother Jim, if you're ready, just come on up, please. Praise God. Thank you, sir. Jennifer, if you would, please. Okay.
Since y'all worship with us as we sing Great Big Wonderful God.
When mercy This Sunday morning about ran Sunday morning. I'm telling y'all what. I never been told I couldn't go to church. I've been saved 30 plus years. And to be told I couldn't go to church. I'm thankful we had that thing. But to be able to walk in God's house again, that was one thing. But when I stood back there and I looked around, and I don't know how Brother Eddie stayed in his seat, and I looked at all my brothers and sisters here, and I'm just like, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord.
Yes,
we got to be together at least one more time. And I thank God for that. And as we was going through whatever all this is that we're going through, and I was praying one morning, and I was reading my Bible, and the Lord spoke, and He said, now is the time. Now is the time. And I called my sister, and I told her, I said, you know what? The Lord said, now is the time. And I started calling my loved ones, now is the time. We're not promised tomorrow. And I'm going to tell you what, if you ain't got a hold of that yet, I don't know what it's going to take for you to get a hold of it. I said, you know what, Lord? I want to see my brothers and sisters back in church one more time. I said, but I hope these pews are so full with sinners, I don't know what to do. And we had one person, and I don't think it was a sinner. I don't know. I'm not calling that. I don't know. But we had one person that wasn't a regular come. I don't know what it's going to take for us to open our eyes. And we can say, oh, the sinners, but are we out doing something? Now is the time.
Amen.
How many times do we say that? How many times do we hear it? And you know what I did? The first person I called was a saved sister. My sister, actually my real sister. That's who I called. And then I called the ones that wasn't saved. I am so thankful to be back in the house of God. So, so thankful. I'm so thankful that we got that thing up there. I'm thankful for that. But it don't beat being in the house of God. You know, I seen Brother Eddie get up here and try to preach. And Tony did a fantastic job. He needs to have the church empty every time. Not really. I'm just speaking about that. But they both did a great job. But I know it had to be hard on them to look out there at the congregation and there was nobody. Well, them over there. But y'all know what I'm talking about. I praise God. Twice now, praise God, we got to come back and see one another.
Yes,
we're not promised. We're not promised to make it home. And if it wasn't an eye-opening to nobody else, it was to me. How many times we hear Brother Eddie say, you know, we may hear one day, we can't come to church. Guess what we heard? We couldn't come to church. God, please, Lord. Please, Lord, heal our land. Hear our land that we can all come back to church again. But more than anything, heal the land that these people that are not saved, Brother Chris, and still aren't moving. I can speak that for mine. They're still not moving. But Lord, heal our land that there's time. The time's now. We better wake up and we better grab who we can grab and we better be throwing them in the church house and let God do the rest. I praise God for being here tonight.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Good to be among Christians. Amen. Good folks. We're so thankful for each and every one of you. Amen. How many's glad that mercy walked in? Amen. Had it not been for the mercy and grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, none of us would be able to stand in the house of God and glorify and praise Him. Amen. You know, it's just it's an honor and a privilege. And as Sister Brenda said, I never, ever again, if I have in the past, forgive me, Father, I never, ever again want to take going to church for granted. Amen. This is a privilege. It's an honor to be able to meet in the house of the Lord. And I got news for the government. It's a right. It's a right. Amen. They cannot tell us we can't meet. I know they can suggest it, and I know they can tell us, and we're going to try our very best to do everything within our means to be safe. Amen. To be very cognizant of the fact that there is a virus. But, you know, they cannot constitutionally keep us from worshiping the Lord. Isn't that great? Yeah. Amen. It's wonderful to know that we got the right to glorify and praise the Lord. Good to have you with us here tonight. We got a very special treat. Brother Chris Arnold is going to be ministering to us tonight. We love this man. We appreciate him. I know it was probably very difficult for him to reschedule his work, but I asked him before, and he said, yeah, I can make it. So I hope that... He got a little chance to have a break before he came straight from work. But Brother Chris, come share what the Lord has laid upon your heart. Amen. Just give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight if you would. Amen. Bless Brother Chris.
Amen. I think Sister Brenda was reading my notes. Hallelujah. You know, as she was testifying, I was thinking there was a man named Jonah, who ran from God one time. He tried to run again. He bought the fare going to Nineveh. He was going in the opposite direction. He smelt like fish. If anybody's ever lived in Florida, or if you ever smelt when the tide goes out, you know all those really pretty pictures that got of the beaches? I told somebody the other day, I said, I can almost smell that picture. When that tide goes out, it don't smell very good. And I can just imagine, now this is the same God that we serve. I can just imagine as Jonah walked through, the Bible says that was a great city. And he walked a day's journey. And he said, repent, repent, repent. I'm sure that a lot of people, he's crazy. Look at him. Have you smelled him? He stinks. Repent. Repent, repent. But he had a burning desire. Repent, for the kingdom of the Lord is at hand. And what happened? The people got saved. The whole nation got saved. The whole, wow, that's amazing. They got saved because one person stood up. And as Brother Eddie was talking, I was thinking, and we have a mayor, we have a governor, we have city council people, we have a president, but we also have a king. And I couldn't help but think, whenever Jesus was born, they said the kingdom of the world and the government will be upon his shoulders. I serve a God who is not dead. I serve a God. I was listening to the radio on the way home, and they were talking about just a quick little thing, and it talked about how God was our mediator. And man, that was good. That I have somebody I can go to who rules and who reigns. When we look around and we say, God, what are we going to do? God says, I got it all under control. Like I told the Sunday school class, he's got the whole world in his hands. It sounds so simple. And it's a song that we got, we were taught when we were little. He's got the whole world in his hands. We worry, we wonder, what's going to happen to us? I can tell you, child of God, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Hallelujah. It's going to be all right. Joel chapter number 2. I've studied and studied, and I went in several different directions, and I just really could not get away from Joel chapter number 2. We're going to start reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong, there hath not ever been ever the like, neither shall any more after it, even to the years of many generations. Father, we love you, Lord. We thank you for all that you do for us, Lord. We just ask right now, Lord, that you would just take your word, Father God. Lord, make it live to us, Father God. Lord, make it just pierce hearts and transform lives right now, Father God. Lord, we just ask you to move in a mighty way, Father God, for those that are in this building, Father God, for those that are tuned in on the live stream, Father God. Lord, we ask you to minister to them. We ask you just to touch them right now, Father God. Lord, just use me, Father God, as nothing but just an oracle for you to use, Father God. Lord, use my lips and use my voice, Father God. Take my lungs, Father God. Lord, just fill it with your words, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I think about how many times that we blow the trumpet and how many times the devil lulls us to sleep. How easy it is, you know, sometimes, I'll be honest with you, when I get up, and Brother Billy can attest to this, when you get up early in the morning and you've worked all day and it's hot and you get into a place that's nice and cool, you find yourself kind of just nodding off. You're not asleep, but you're not really awake either. You're kind of at that land in between, to where you're just kind of floating around. The church, I'm here to tell you, is at that place. The church has been lulled to sleep by the devil for long enough. It's time. If there ever was a time, it's now. If there's ever a time for the ministers to stand up, it's now. If there's ever a time for us to say, thus saith the Lord, it's now. If there ever was a time for us to know whose side we're on, it's now. I was texting back and forth with a pastor friend of mine today, and he sent me some scriptures, and I just kind of sat back, you know, if God be for us, who can be against us? And he said, the devil's against us. And I said, the devil's a loser. I'm not worried about him. He's a loser. You remember how we used to say, loser? Remember that? As back in many years ago? He's a loser. He's already lost. But there's too many people that are in the valley of decision. Too many people that are kind of don't know which way to go. Do you ask people, do you believe in God? Well, yes, I believe in God. I go to church. But do you know who Jesus is? Now listen, we're going to let you pray in the name of God. That's fine. You can do that all you want to, but don't say Jesus. Don't say Jesus. My Bible says that at the mention of His name, the demons will flee. At the mention of His name, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Not most, but every tongue will confess. If I had a name for this sermon title tonight, it would be All In. All In. Just a simple All In. Are you all in? Or are you just on the fence? Are you in the valley of decision? Do you come to church and you say, everything's all right, and you put your church face on? Everything's... Y'all act like you ain't never done that before. Been coming to church, been fighting with your wife and fighting with the kids, and you fought the devil all the way into church, and you feel like, I'm just ready to give up. And all of a sudden, the preacher's right there at the back, hey, Brother Eddie, how you doing? Well, we just had such a wonderful week this week. And you know the devil's been on your back double time this week. And you've been toting him around. You've been just trying to pow, pow. You ever had the devil on your back so bad and you say, devil, I wish you'd just get off my back. But you let him ride around. You let him come on now. Amen or oh me. But you let him ride around. It's time for Christians to take authority and say, devil, in the name of Jesus, get behind me, Satan. You say, Brother Chris, do we really have to do that? Jesus did that. Jesus stopped and He said, Satan, get behind me. Who was He talking to? Peter was the one that said, Jesus, you're not going to go. And He said, devil, get behind me, because you're an offense to me. It's time that we let the devil know where the fence is and say, hey, you ain't coming across this fence anymore. You're not coming into my family anymore, devil. You're not going to give me trouble anymore, devil. It's time that we start laying claim and seeking the power that we have and the power that's instilled within us. The Bible says, greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. But we don't believe that because we go out into the world and we act like we're defeated. Every time we act like... You ask somebody, how you doing? I'm having a terrible day. It's been awful. Well, you know what? The sun still shines. I love Brother Billy's post. He said, we were planting the garden, and it was a little cloudy. Oh, that excited me. And it was a little cloudy, and I prayed, and I said, Lord, bless my garden. And the sun came and hit him on the face. And I thought, oh my, if there ever was a sign from above that God's looking out for you, hallelujah, oh, glory to God. It means something if you say just a simple prayer, and God says, I'm going to move because I want to show you that I love you. I just want to show you that I care for you. Somebody else might look and they might say, you know what, that's just a small thing. But to him it was big. To me it was big. My goodness, God loves us, but He wants us to get on His side and quit patty caking around with Him. I saw a church sign a couple weeks ago that says, God wants full custody, not just weekend visits. But we weekend visit. Oh God, I need you. How would you like it if somebody always came to you? The only time they ever called is when they need you. Not like we don't have some family members like that. Brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so calling. I wonder what they want now. Oh my goodness. God wants all of you. He wants you to be all in. Blow the horn. Sanctify a fast. If you want to see God move, I dare you to fast. And you don't just do without food. You know what that's called? A diet. That's a diet. If you do without food, that's a diet. That's all you're going to get with out of it. But when you fast and you pray, come on somebody. I believe God's speaking that to somebody right now. When you fast and you pray and you seek God, not just, you know, sometimes when you've lost something and you say, I just absolutely don't know where I put it. And it drives you crazy. And you think, my goodness, where is it at? And then when you just hunker down and you say, you know what? I'm going to find it. You know what that's called? That's called seeking. When you seek God with your whole heart, you will find Him. But too many times what we're doing is we're halfway seeking God. God, if I see you here, so be it. But I'm not really looking for you. You ever see somebody in the grocery store that you know? And you're like, hey, hey, and you're trying to get their attention. Hey, and they're one of them people that, we all know these type of people that I don't want to recognize you in public. You know, I got people I work with like that. I can see them going down the road. I'll be waving at them. They'll be like, it's like, next day you see me, like, did you not see me? Yeah. Like, well, you know, I exist outside of work. I'm still a person. You know, you could wave at me. I didn't know I brought shame to you that bad. But we want God's attention. If we seek Him with our whole heart. When was the last time you sought God with all of your heart? And not just a quarter or a half or two thirds or three quarters. Or how about this? You say, I'm doing good everywhere, but right here. I've got 95% and I'm good. But what about the other five? God said, I want it all. I want it all. If you're going to give it to me all. You said, Brother Chris, but I just don't know if I can let that go. Yes, you can. Yes, how can you do it? God, take it from me. God, help me. Let me tell you something. There ain't no shame in my game. I need Jesus every day. I need Him every hour of every day, of every second. I need Him. God, lead me. God, guide me. God, direct me. God, help me. God, touch me. Help me to say what You want me to say, Lord. Because don't let me just say words that don't mean anything. Help me to help somebody, God. Help me to be used by You, God. Because I figured out a long time ago that our reason for being on this earth as a Christian is not only to be Christ-like, but to be used by Him. Every opportunity we get to be used by Him. Amen? If it's just an ear to listen. If it's just to say, hey, I wanted to let you know I was praying for you today. If it's just something just to pick up the phone and say, I wanted to let you know that I appreciate you. It goes a long way. Amen? My wife the other night, I'm going to brag on her. I know she's probably watching. She knows I love apples. But I can't just eat a regular apple because it has to be cooked. Because it'll make my throat swell up and it won't be pretty. So, I love apples. Have I said that? So, we went to Blue Ridge a couple weekends ago and got us some apples. We get them home, and I slice one up, and I throw that thing in the microwave for about a minute. It's all right. But I started eating it, and I was like, uh-oh, this ain't going to be good. You know, I could feel it, and I said, oh, no. A couple nights later, I come home. She said, I got something I made for you. Ooh, hallelujah. Something you made. Hey, I ain't never had nothing she fixed that wasn't good. She said, oh, you're not going to believe what it is. She pulls out fried apples. I love fried apples. She took the time to cut up those apples, to slice them up, to peel them, to cook them for me. Why? Because she loves me. No other reason than she loves me. God took the time to make this day a beautiful day, to let you be able to see the sunrise and the sunset, to let you be able to hear the birds that are singing praises to the Lord. You say, Brother Chris, do you believe that? The heavens declare the goodness of God and the earth shows His handiwork. Yes, I believe the birds sing praises to the Lord. Yes, I sure do. He let us be able to see another beautiful day. He let us be able to breathe the air that we breathe. We're not fighting for our life. We're not in a hospital. We're not in a jail. We are a blessed people. God has been good to us. And it's time that we take it to the street and we say, I want to let you know. I'm not talking about taking a Bible and just bashing somebody over the head. You need Jesus. You need to get saved. No. How are they going to know that you're a Christian? By living the life. By living the life. By being the example. And when we are the example, people are going to look and say, something's different about that person. I want whatever they got. How are the pews going to be filled? By people saying, you know what? I just got here because I want what they got. What they got. This day and time we're worried about, it's contagious. It's contagious. Isn't it terrible that all this stuff happened right when allergy season? You sneeze and everybody's like, you know, you're like, allergies, it's all allergies that happens this time of year. It's allergies, trust me. But what if we could let Jesus be contagious? Let that be contagious. You got a problem? The answer is Jesus. You got an issue? The name is answer is Jesus. If you're fighting cancer, the healer is Jesus. If you're fighting something financially, I know my banker's name is Jesus. Hallelujah. There is power in the name of Jesus. Not in any God, but in the God. The one that rules and the one that reigns. Blow the trumpet. Sanctify a fast is what Joel said. And verse number 3, a fire devoureth before them and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. Nothing. The appearance of them as the appearance of horses and as horsemen, so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pained, all faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men, they shall climb the wall like men of war, and they shall march every one on his ways. They shall not break their ranks, neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path, and when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city, they shall run upon the wall, and they shall climb up upon the houses, they shall enter in at the windows like a thief. Anybody ever had somebody break into their house? You feel like you just literally been robbed. Somebody broke in my house. The devil works his way into each and every one of our houses. And he doesn't even have to break in. He can come through the internet. He can come back in the day we used to preach about that little coax cable. I preached a message on that little coax cable. The devil comes in through that. Solomon says it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the little. As I was up early one morning, I was looking over at some oranges my wife had over there, navel oranges. And I was noticing, since we ain't really been eating the navel oranges, if one of those oranges, you ever had God show you something that's so simple that just blows your mind? One of those oranges gets rotten. Guess what happens to the rest of those after a while? The rest of those get rotten. You know why that is? Because birds of a feather fly together. The rottenness overtakes the good ones. And we let that little bit of rottenness in our life. And we say, it's all right. I can handle it. And before long, it becomes so rotten that everything around us is rotten. And we say, God, how did this happen? It seemed like it happened overnight. Because we let those little foxes in. We let those little foxes come in. And that's what this is talking about right here. Just completely destroys everything. Just completely destroys everything. I want to skip down to verse number 15. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. There was a time, and my wife can tell you, there was a time that I would come to church, especially on Saturday nights, and me and the pastor that we had in Florida, we would pray. And I mean, we would pray. And it wasn't just a now I lay me down to sleep. It was a God, we need you. God, we need you to move. And what we do, we break out the anointing oil and we just start every pew, the altar, everywhere everybody sat, the doorpost, the window post, everything would get anointed. And I'm telling you, we begin to see God move. You want to see God move, you get real with God. You start getting real with God and you say, God, I don't care what nobody else says about me. I don't care what nobody else says about me. I want more of you. I just want more of you. You see, we're in a dry and thirsty land, but we don't realize that we're thirsty. You ever go through your day and you're like, man, I'm just a little thirsty and I think I need to get something to drink. But you get so busy doing something else, I'm not going to stop and get something to drink. I'll be fine. And by the end of the day, you've drunk a whole gallon of water because you're just so thirsty. That's what we are. We are in need of a spiritual revival. God, help us get a spiritual revival. Not just a schedule, but God, something that we can't put borders on. God, something that we can't keep control of. God, let your fire just go. Hallelujah. I've heard stories, oh hallelujah, about how the fire department would be called over church services because they thought they saw flames because the fire of God fell. Hallelujah. Lord, let do that again. Hallelujah. If you don't do it in nobody else, God, do it in me. Hallelujah. If the revival's got to begin somewhere, let it begin right here, God. Let it begin right here, God. Let it begin right here, God. I don't care what's going on. Hallelujah. I want more of you. And once we get to that place, we'll begin to see God move. Once we get to that, we walk around and we say, I don't know why God's not healing people. He is healing people for those that are praying diligently. If we really get down to where the rubber meets the road, it ain't about a big fancy prayer. It ain't about, I learned a long time ago when I said, God, I don't know how to pray for somebody. It's just open your mouth and say what I tell you to say. And when God works through you, hallelujah, you ain't got to worry about what you're saying. God's doing it, amen. I'm just a vessel. I just want to let everybody know, hey, God's a healer. Hallelujah. I'm so sick and tired of seeing people in the hospital beds. I'm so sick and tired of people getting sick. And us Christians will walk by and say, we're going to pray for you. How about stop where you're at right now. If it means that much to you, pray for them right where they're at. Hallelujah. You say you want to see God move. Hallelujah. God ain't never changed. And He's not going to change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. We blow the trumpet. We blow the trumpet. We let everybody know, hey, you know what? We know what you do when you blow the trumpet? That's a sound of war. We're letting the devil know we're coming. Hallelujah. The Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail. But we ain't even been close enough to the gates of hell to find out. Hallelujah. Because once it gets a little bit hard, we turn back and we go the other way. We say, I ain't in it for this. I remember when I used to play football. Man, my football coach, he was tough. He was tough. And I promise you, he was tougher on me than he was anybody else on the team. And I can still remember to this day, he said, that builds character in you, son. And I remember, I said, Mr. Dubois, I'm pretty sure I got enough character built up in me right now that I'm good. He said, one day down the road, you're going to thank me. I mean, you know what? Every time that I would have to run a lap, you know what? Running a lap was tough. We used to have to do wind sprints. That was tough. Now, for them youngins that was little, they only carrying half the body weight. That's what I told them. I said, they're a lot faster because they only carrying half of what I got. You know? He's like, you got to do your best. You got to give it your all. You got to go. Don't you dare give up. Don't you dare quit. And now to this day, I can hear it. I can just hear it in my ears, him saying, don't you stop. Don't you stop. You keep on going. It might get a little tough. I truly believe that God put that man in my life because he knew what I was going to have to go through. Don't you give up. Don't you stop. Don't you look to the right or to the left. You just keep on going. You keep on going when you can't feel like you want to go anymore. Have you been to that place where you can't even feel like you can pick your foot up and go another step, and somehow God gives you strength and he says, come on, you can do it. Come on, you can do it. Come on, you can do it. The book of Psalms, David said, you know what? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Some days I can feel goodness and I can feel mercy pushing me along. Oh, hallelujah. If you really get into that, that'll light your fire even if your wood's wet. Hallelujah. Goodness and mercy keep pushing me along. I can hear God saying, just a little while longer. Just a little while longer. Hold in there just a little bit more. You're going to see some things happen. Hallelujah. Before we get on to that other side, we're going to see some family members get saved. We're going to see some people get saved that we never thought we would get saved. Hallelujah. We're going to see some people come into this church we never thought was going to come into this church. And we're going to say, God did it. God did it. God did it. There ain't no other way but God did it. God did it. Hallelujah. God did it. Pastor friend of mine was preaching a revival. And this wife, she would stand up every night. First night she stands up and says, brother, pray for my husband. He's at home drunk and he needs Jesus. Second night, stands up, pray for my husband. He's at home drunk and he needs Jesus. Well, third, fourth, fifth night go on, it's kind of getting a little bit old. She stands up and everybody knows what she's going to say. Last night of the revival, right on key, she stands up. Brother, I have something I want to say. And about that time, the doors to the church open in the back, and it's her husband. And he can't hardly even walk. And he stumbles in and he goes all the way up to the altar and he says, "Brother, I can't take it no more. Somebody's been praying for me. I don't know who, I don't know how, but I need Jesus in my life." Hallelujah. God reached down and he got a hold of that person right there and he saved him. Hallelujah. That man became a great worker in that church for many, many years before he passed away, because that one wife stood up and said, "Pray, pray, pray." See, too many times we want to give up. We want to say, "You know what? Everybody else is going to think I'm crazy. I've done prayed this prayer 100,000 times. How about 100,001? That might be the prayer that got through. If it takes 100,000 prayers, then I'm going to pray 100,000 prayers. But God, let me get that one through." Oh, hallelujah. You ever get a prayer through to God and you say, "Thank God. Thank God. There's no other way that would have happened but God." Hallelujah. God's still in the saving business. He's still in the sanctifying business. Ministers, between the porch and the altar, we weep. It's not cry. It's weep. You ever been so sad you weep? I mean, weep. That's getting real. My Bible tells me that God is near to those of a broken spirit. God, give us a broken spirit for this world once again. Give us a broken spirit for when we're driving down the road and we see that lost person, that it breaks our heart. Don't let us look the other way, God. Don't let us just act like they're not even there and turn the other cheek. No. God, let it break our hearts. Let us see that loved one right there. That's somebody's brother. That's somebody's dad. That's somebody's sister. That's somebody's husband. That's somebody's wife right there. But too often we as Christians want to stereotype it. That's a no good so-and-so. We ain't never done that. We ain't never done that. I was, you know, I work in Atlanta, and you know the area we work in, rough. There's a fellow on the corner, and I looked over at him, and you could see the hurt in his face. And God said, "I died for him, just like I died for you. And if he would have been the only person, I would have died for him." And I thought to myself, God help me not to look at myself mightier than I am. God, humble me. Because, see, I'm nothing but flesh and bone. God, help us to get real with you again. God, help us to be totally committed. I told the example of the Sunday school class, when you eat breakfast, to be committed is having the eggs. The chicken was committed. But being totally committed, the pig was totally committed. If you're eating bacon or sausage, that pig was totally committed. How many Christians are totally committed? Sold out. Sold out. I've seen great revivals. We were a part in Chattanooga of a 90-day revival. And you talk about, wow. You said, "Brother Chris, what in the world did y'all do? We went to church every night. It was great. I loved it." We went to church every night. You talk about just getting the absolute cleansing of the Holy Ghost every night. Some nights the preacher would preach and some nights he wouldn't. But I know one thing, every night that we were there, the Spirit of God was there. That is what, oh, hallelujah. You see, I'm just an old God junkie. That's all I am. Oh, Lord, just give me more of you. Give me more of you. I just don't want just a little dab, Lord. Give me more of you. Pour it out on me, Lord. Give me more. I need more, Lord. I need more. More of you. And rend your heart in verse 13, and not your garments. And turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Verse 14, who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Verse 17, let the priest weep. Verse 18, then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. I'm reminded of the story. Jesus walked by the blind man that was begging. And he said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. You think he was at his point where he said, you know what? I cannot imagine being blind, Brother Eddie. I can't. If there's one thing that we take for granted, it's our eyesight. As good or as bad as it might be, thank God I can see. Thank God I can still read His Word. Thank God I can still see a sunrise. I can still see a sunset. Thank God I can see the beautiful birds that God lets us to see. Thank God that we can see. But he couldn't see. He couldn't tell if it was day or night. But he had heard about a man named Jesus. And he knew that this man named Jesus that he heard about, if there was anybody that could help him, Jesus could help him. He'd already been to the priest. No luck. He'd already been to these other people. Nothing. But Jesus. When Jesus passed by, the disciples said, shh, shh, you're making too much noise. And the Bible says he said it all the more louder. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped. And he turned to him. I'm going to tell you something right now. Some of y'all have prayed some prayers in this house that Jesus has stopped and turned to. Somebody needs to hear that. Stopped and he's turned to you and said, what is it that you want? Oh, hallelujah. That's good right there. Glory to God. And he said, Jesus. And what he did is he took off his cloak. That represented everything that he had to do with his blindness. That was faith right there, Brother Eddie. He said, you know what? This identifies me with being blind, and I ain't going to be a blind no more. He wasn't healed yet, but he knew he was on his way. Hallelujah. There's a miracle, Sister Sings, in the making. There's a miracle that God's formed in the making. Somebody needs to hear that. Somebody needs to get a hold of that. There's a miracle for you. He took off everything that identified him with that blindness. And he went, and Jesus, he saw Jesus. He said, what wilt thou do unto me? Wilt thou be made whole? Yes. Yes. We walk around spiritually blind. Make us whole, God. Make us whole. And he was made whole from that day. Don't you know, you talk about calling somebody. He didn't have to have a phone. I guarantee you everybody for miles knew that he could see. Man, when I got my glasses, I've told this story before, but a couple years ago I got my glasses. I ain't never had glasses. I didn't realize how bad it was until I got glasses. I put the glasses on. And Brother Eddie, I started crying. Tabitha said, what's wrong with you? I said, I can see. I can see. I never realized how blind I was, but I can see. I never realized how blind I was until I started looking through this word right here. Now I can see. The old song says, I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Brother Billy, I was blind, but now, thank God. Thank God I can see. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for Jesus. Hallelujah. The shedding of his blood covers a multitude of sins. Somebody asked me the other day, do you believe in the blood of Jesus? Yes, I do. What do you believe about the blood of Jesus? My Bible tells me, hallelujah, and somebody needs to hear this, that without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sins. There had to be shedding of blood. I'm sorry if you want to make it politically correct, but there had to be shedding of the blood because there had to be a perfect sacrifice. And excuse me if I get a little bit excited when I think about how when my Jesus went to Calvary, the place of the skull. Only Jesus could take something that was meant to be bad and turn it out to make it good. Hallelujah. The place of the skull, Golgotha. And he went up to that cross and he didn't die. He didn't give up his life. They didn't take his life. He freely gave it up. He freely gave it up. Every drop of blood that was shed was for us, was for you and for me. The Bible says that the veil of the temple was rent in two. If you've ever read anything, and Brother Eddie, he knows about the Old Testament, how they used to tie the rope around the priest. And hey, if that guy wasn't right, he was, boom, oh, got to pull him out. Thank God. And you could only go a certain time of the week. Thank God. When I get up in the middle of the night and I'm hurting, I can say, Jesus. I can say, Jesus. I have direct access. Y'all remember those Nextel phones they used to have back in the day? Remember how they were so cool? You know what it was called? Direct connect. I'm going to directly connect with somebody. You know, AT&T, reach out and touch somebody. This is better than that. I can direct connect. And man, if you ever heard that thing, you knew on the other end that somebody was getting a beep beep. And you better answer me, because I know it went through. With God, we don't even have to beep. We can just say, Jesus. Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God that He's there 24/7, 365. He never sleeps and never slumbers. Thank God. Amen. Yea, in verse number 19, yea, the Lord will answer and say unto His people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and ye shall be satisfied therewith. And I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. Verse 20, but I will remove far off from you the northern army, and drive into a land barren and desolate, with his face toward the east sea, and his hinder part toward the utmost sea. And his stink shall come up, and his ill savor shall come up, because he hath done great things. Fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. For the Lord will do great things. I feel in my spirit, for the Lord will do great things. Skip down in verse 24. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the fats shall overflow with wine and oil. And verse 25. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten. We as Christians, we get saved and we come to know the Lord, and it's not easy. And sometimes, truthfully, we look back and we say, God, why? Why? And we get in our human element and we say, look at all this stuff I've lost. Look at all this stuff that's just been behind me. The Apostle Paul said, I press toward the mark. If I'm pressing towards a mark, I'm not worried about what's behind me. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And the Bible says right here, I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten. The cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army, which I sent among you. We say, God, why? And God said, because I'm trying to get you closer to me. When times are good, we tend to not look at God. When times are tough, we say, God, we need you. If God has to keep us in a situation to where we say, God, we need you, so be it. God, keep me there. Because I know you're going to meet and you're going to supply every need. You're going to take care of me, God. But God, don't let me get out here. And don't let me. I've looked back on my life just this past week. I've done a little self-examination. And I thought to myself, wow, if I wouldn't have listened to God when I was about 17 or 18 years old, I would have been in a complete different direction than what I am now. And I think to myself, in this world's eyes, I would have had it made. But in my heart, I would have been the saddest person that you ever could have been around. You know, this world's full of sorrow, full of sadness. I'll take the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my help. He is my hope. Psalm chapter number 3 talks about, many are there that are against me, but Thou, O Lord, are a shield for me, the glory and the lifter up of my head. Sometimes we have to have our head lifted up. Sometimes, my mom used to always say, what are you down to Mully Grubs for? Why are you pouting all the time? My wife does the same thing. Why are you so sad looking? I don't know. Just look sad. Feel like looking sad. You ever notice how when you look rested, You're resting? Most people look mad. What you mad at? Nothing? Okay. You sure? Yeah. Why you ask? I'm just checking. Why don't you smile every once in a while, you know? They say, hey, listen, they say that if you smile, you burn more calories than if you frown. What do they say? I got a lot of catching up to do. It's all right. I understand. But God will restore that to us. He will restore that to us because He is, and in closing, I want to go to Psalms chapter 130. I love David's writings, especially in this psalm right here. The Bible says in verse number 1, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Verse number 4, but there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you're trying to hide from God. There's forgiveness. There is forgiveness. If you say, Brother Chris, don't nobody else know nothing about it. God does. God does. I can always remember my dad. He would tell me, son, when you're working, do it like Jesus is your boss. Because He is. Because He sees everything you do. And I still, to this day, me and Brother Jim have had talks about this. To this day, I still carry that. Whatever I do, I want to do it like I'm reporting to Jesus. Because ultimately, when I get to my home, to my real home, He's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what I want to hear. Hallelujah. Well done. What's it going to be like when we get to heaven? I don't know. I can only imagine. But I know Jesus is going to be there. And that's going to make it heaven to me. My Jesus is going to be there. Oh, hallelujah. The old hymn says, when I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace, when He takes me by the hand and He leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. Verse number 5, I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in His word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with Him is plenteous redemption. And He shall redeem Israel from all iniquities. All. Not just some. All of them. God is good. Amen. It's time for us to really get sold out to God. It's time for us to really... The old saying is, grab the altar by the horns and just say, God, I'm believing You. I'm believing You for my loved ones. I'm believing You for healing, God. Everything that weighs us down, we should pray about. We should give it to God. Why would God tell us, take my yoke, for it is easy. Give me yours and take mine. You ever been toting something really heavy? And you got a heavy part. We moved a little bit of furniture over the past weekend. I realized I'm not as strong as I thought I was. And them boys I got is strong. You know, there used to be a day that I didn't think twice about it. And now it's here's what it is. Pause, think about it, and then go do it. You know? Well, while I'm pausing and think about it, the young kids are doing it. You know, I remember a time when I didn't pause. And now that pause is there. And I notice the older I get, the longer that pause is. You know, because you're thinking, how can I not do this? how can I get out of doing this? Or how can I do it easy? You know, there was a time where I just went. But you know, when you have somebody to help you, when you're picking something up and it's heavy and you have somebody come alongside, let me just give you a little help. That's what Christian brothers and sisters do. I want to let you know that I'm believing God for what you're believing for. I don't have to know everything. I don't need to know everything. You just need to know that whatever you're praying for, I'm agreeing with. One of my coworkers working on the dock, he's on the forklift, he says, Hey, I need me a car. I said, well, you're not looking at a car salesman. What do you want from me? You know? He said, he goes into this big story, you know, about how he was going to go buy a car and the person did him wrong. I said, I'll tell you what. I said, you pray about it. And you pray that God's going to take you into the right direction He wants you to go. He looked at me kind of puzzled. I said, no, I'll tell you one better. I'm going to agree with you that God's going to do it. He said, okay. I said, now, wait. I'm not going to be the only one agreeing here, because you're going to have to agree with me. Your faith is going to have to link with my faith. Don't make me be the only one picking up on this thing. I don't mind, but I know that God's going to show you something. Amen? I don't have to know everything. Sometimes as ministers, and Brother Eddie can say this, God shows you things that you don't tell everybody. And it's all right, because God shows you that stuff. That's precious. That means something. But you need to know that God sees everything. And He's watching out for you. And He's got your best interest at heart. And people that you might not even know about or might not even think are doing it are standing in the gap for you. Are standing in the gap for you. Oh, hallelujah. I believe, listen, I'm just going to be obedient to the Lord right here. I believe there's some people that are here in this church. I believe there's some people in closing that are watching via live stream that just flat out need a miracle. Whether it's financial, whether it's physical, whether it's mental, whether it's a whatever kind of healing it might be. Whether you say, you know what? I just need a touch. I just need a touch. I believe that in closing, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if we'll stand, raise our hands to heaven. Father God, we need you. Lord, we ask right now, Lord, that you would just hear our cry, Father God. Lord, that you would touch us right now, Father God. Lord, for every person that's here in this crowd, Father God, in this congregation, Lord, that needs a touch, Father God. Lord, I know that you are the way maker, Father God. You are a miracle worker, Father God. There is nothing that you cannot do. And Jesus, I ask right now, Father God, Lord, I know that by your stripes we are healed, Father. And right now we proclaim that healing, Father God. We speak the healing right now over this nation, over this congregation, Father God, over everybody that's tuning in right now. Father, as they're agreeing right now in faith, Lord, we're believing for a miraculous touch, Father, that only you can do, Father God. That only you can do, Father God. You're making a miracle right now, Father God. Lord, you're making a, right now, you're making a river in the desert, Father God. You're making a way where there seemeth to be no way. Father, you're opening doors where there was not once a door, Lord. You're making a way, and we believe it right now, Father God. Lord, right now we receive it, Father. We receive it, Father God. We receive, Father God. We believe, Father, that you are ruler in your reign, Father God. Lord, for each and every person on the prayer request list right now, Father God. Lord, as we see so many text blasts, Father, Lord, we know right now that you're able, Father, to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us, Father God. Lord, and as we bind together, we believe, Father God, that you're going to heal each and every person, Father God, that you're going to move in a mighty way, Father God. Lord, for all the lost loved ones, Father God. Lord, for everybody, Lord. Lord, I know that your hand is not shortened, but it cannot save, Lord. And I know, Father God, that we cannot go anywhere and escape your presence. So, Father, right now I ask that you would just put that right now drawing desire on those lost people, Father God, that they wouldn't be able to sleep tonight until they get right with you, Father God. Lord, if you don't bring them into this church, bring them into a church somewhere, Father God. Lord, let them be changed, Father God. Lord, they've tried and tried and tried to be good, Father God. They've tried to do it the right way, Father God. But we can't do anything without you, Lord. We can't do anything without you, Lord. It's through you we live and breathe and have our being. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in this house, Lord. We thank you in advance for the miracles, Father God. Lord, and we praise you, Lord, for you are greatly to be praised. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Can you say praise the Lord? Can you give the Lord a hand clap of praise in this place? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Chris, for that wonderful message. Are we all in? If we're not, we better get in. Amen. Thank you for coming tonight. May God bless you. And all of those on live stream that are viewing, we can't wait till you're back with us. And we're just one big happy family again. But until then, let's just keep praying one for another. Amen. And continue, amen, to uphold the Lord Jesus Christ in everything that we do. And listen to His Word. Get in His Word. As Brother Chris was talking about fasting. And I tell you what, if you really want to see a move of God, let's fast as a church and believe that God's going to just have His way and touch. Amen. Would you bow your heads with this prayer? We'll be dismissed tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful. So thankful for Your Word. So thankful for Your Spirit tonight. God, for the man that brought the Word to us tonight. God, we're so thankful for that. I pray, God, that we'll be all in. God, into Your service, Lord, in everything that we do. God, we'll do it with our whole heart, our mind, our soul, and body. God, that we'll put forth our very best effort. God, that You'll take that and anoint it and multiply it. God, that'll meet the needs, Lord, that are so many out there. We pray for those who are sick, those who are suffering. God, that You would touch them. And all the ones that are lost and undone tonight, God, I pray, Lord, that You would bring them to an old-fashioned altar of repentance. And we ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday morning, 10 o'clock Sunday school, 11 o'clock worship. May God bless you.